Thank you, Clark and Kylie. Boy, it was good, as Rasa said in the beginning, to try to get everybody to turn around and smile and shake each other's hand and say that it was good to be in church, because it reminded me of something Brother Frank said to us this morning to breakfast. He was telling me that, you remember they did a video, I think it was, in around Christmas time. And when you look at the video, you might see a bunch of people in it that are not smiling at all. Said we were singing, you're going to kill me for telling you this, but anyway. Said we were singing this, and Highway to Heaven, and it looked like, you know, we were upset about going there. Because our face didn't look like we were too happy. And oftentimes we get that way, you know. Christian people seem sometimes to have a long face, and I always think of that story what they tell about the donkey, you know. The little child thought that that's what Christians are supposed to look like donkeys. But I don't think that's what we're supposed to look like. I think there's a lot that we have to rejoice in, and we should be the happiest people in the world. Anybody got anything to smile and sing about? God's people. So tonight, I'm worse than Jensen. But anyway, I guess that's, I hope I can be as good as what he did with the song, because he pulled the song off probably better than he's ever sung in his life. And his wife always, you know, has to be an encouragement to him, because I tell you, sometimes he can get real discouraging. I probably get it from him too. But anyway, God is good. I want you to just going to read one verse tonight from the Psalms. And he said to me, you better have object lesson tonight or else you're in trouble. So he's been looking to see if I had an object lesson, I think. I don't think he's seen anything, but anyway, I think he knows I might be doing a little something tonight. One verse in Psalm 119 and verse 11. It's one that I've quoted to our young people many times, and you've read it many times, and you probably said it in Sunday school when we used to say verses out in the hall. Many times, and it's this, your word, or thy word, have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you, or thee. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. How many of us are really doing that today? I'm not just talking to you. When I say that, I speak, whatever I say tonight is coming in my face, I guess, 1,000 to 1 to you. Thinking about that, anybody know what I got here? Floppy disk. Why in the world do they call it a floppy disk? You see? It's as stiff as a board. I don't see anything floppy about it. But any young person know what it belongs, what this thing is or what it's used for? I can hear mumbling, but no. It's used for a computer. Something else I'm not too familiar with. But, you know what? What is done with one of these things, what it's used for, it goes in a computer, yes, but what are they used for on many occasions? That's right, Gilbert. He's a computer man, I guess, for the tune-up. It is used for storing information. And, you know, the computer never ceases to baffle my mind, because I've got one in my house, and like I said, I'm not too good with it. I can play around with it, and that's about it. But some months ago, I guess, I was sitting here one night, and I think it might have been right after Josh was here. That was in the summer, so it's been a long time, almost a year. But I just got, you know, curious, and sitting near to the computer, I just started to type in www.shannonhillsgospelchapel.com. And bang, all of a sudden, picture of the building comes up. Information on how that assembly started, where it was today, who was there working as the worker in that particular assembly, and all of the information that I needed to know about or wanted to know about that assembly was right there. So, and there's millions of things that you can do just like that are stored up in this computer. This thing is probably what we can say, use it as the brain, storing up information. And I just give away my next clue. Because, you know, we have something that's probably far greater than what this floppy disk is and what the computer is. God has given it to every single one of us. It's there when we're born. At least most of us do have a brain, I think. Sometimes I wonder about Ralph, but anyway, yes, God has given us something that is so important and so unique. It's so amazing that we can put things into our mind, and unless Alzheimer's steps in, we can go 40, 50 years, and you can think back to when you were probably 4 or 5 years old and tell a story and tell it in detail of things that happened maybe 50 years ago. That's great. That's what we have up inside of here. It's even better than the computer because, you know, you can't find a 50-year-old computer and it's probably not even functioning anymore. It's all wore out, and you've got to keep upgrading and keep upgrading and keep upgrading. But God has given us a great and a vast computer inside of our heads, and it's our brain. And we can use it for storing up information. Some of the most important information that we can store up in our mind. Any young person got any idea what it is? What can we store in our mind? Come on, talk to me. You like to have object lessons, so I like for you to talk to me. The Word of God. That's right, Shelley. The most important thing that we can probably put into our brains, into our computer, is the Word of God. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because we use that as we grow, as we go through life, as we face temptations and other things, we use it for our benefit. Because you've often heard the quotation that sin keeps us from the Word, but the Word a lot of times will keep us from sinning. And if we hide the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds, it will prove to be a blessing and useful to us as we go along our Christian pathway. It's used our brains as a storehouse that we can store up the things that we need to prevent us from failing the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Jesus even used it? Used quotations from the Old Testament when the devil led him out in the wilderness and he tempted him. He had it stored in his mind. Well, I know that he's all-knowing and he's the God of the universe. But he was able to quote temptations or quote things back to the devil as the devil was tempting him because it was there. And oftentimes, young people, boys, girls, teenagers, when we're tempted to do things that are wrong, how many times that a scripture verse has not popped up into your mind? And oftentimes, I know it has with me, I found myself checking up because I knew by the Word of God, something that I had read, that what I was doing or about to do was wrong. So the scripture verse we read tonight is that your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not do what? Sin against thee. So sin. What is sin? I think sin is anything that is against God. Anything that is anti-God is sin. And unconfessed sin, I don't know about you, but I found it in my life. Unconfessed sin will multiply. One thing will lead to the next, and the next, and the next, until there's so much going on, we don't know how it really got started. It multiplies. And with that, I'm going to read to you a story that I found in a book that I thought was very interesting. I want you to listen at it. I'm going to read it word for word, just about how it was written in this book. It's a story about a starfish. How many of you have ever seen the starfish? Sometimes you find extra prongs maybe growing off from it, or it's like it's something else has headed on to it. But listen at what this story says. It's a true story. True. That some years ago, in the New England area of the United States of America, oyster fishermen hated the starfish because they hate the oysters. So whenever they caught starfish in their oyster nets, they would cut them up in 2 or 3 pieces and throw them back into the ocean, thinking they had killed them. But instead of fewer and fewer starfish, each year they kept catching more and more of them. Finally, they realized that when they cut a starfish into two pieces, both pieces lived and grew legs. And now there was not only one starfish, but two. And if they cut it into three, it was three. So instead of hurting the starfish population, they were helping it. Now, you ever stop to think about that? It happens to us, and it happens to us oftentimes when we're not really expecting it, because we do things, or things come into our lives. We allow things to come into our lives. In the beginning, we think that it's really not so bad, because, you know, everybody's doing it. The majority of the people's doing it anyway, so if everybody's doing it, then, you know, it seems like it's just got to be right. And that's what gets a lot of us in trouble. We don't stop to think, well, is this what God would want me to do? Or am I in the place where God would want me to be? Or am I in the place where my friends want me to be? And I'll tell you what, when you're in places where your friends want you to be, oftentimes you're not in the place where God wants you to be. Now, for us as Christians, not to let these sins multiply in our lives, not to let them keep growing and spawning off from one to the other, there's only one way that we can prevent that, and it's what I said in the beginning, that we hide the Word of God in our hearts. And if it's done from our youth, it'll grow up with us right on into our adulthood. Where can you learn about the Word of God? And then the young people know that. How do we learn about the Word of God? Where do we learn about the Word of God? From the Bible, that's right. There's another place that you attend every Sunday. Church and Sunday school. You go into classrooms every week. Your teachers teach you the Word of God. They spend all week, just about all week, learning the lesson that they're going to present to you that week. And I'll tell you what. There's still some things that I can remember going back to when I was in Sister Mister's class. You might have heard me say that already, but I remember some of the Bible lessons that was taught to me as a child. I remember things that was read to me on my mother's knee. I still remember those stories about Joseph and, things like that that have grew up with me all through my life. And we have to be in the house of God. If we want to hear what God is saying to us, we have to be here. I found it, and I'm sure if you want to admit the truth tonight, you have found as well that there's not so many young or old. I hate to single out the young people, but we are in a youth service tonight. But there's so few of us as young people that desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. A lot of us are quite happy to hear good music. We're quite happy to have a good quiz. We're quite happy to do just about anything that around the church besides listening to the Word of God. When it comes to hearing the preaching of God's Word, check us out on Tuesday night and see how many we're going to have that are going to be anywhere from the age of 15 to 35. Not only the Gospel Chapel, it's in the People's Church. It's in the Methodist Church, as I've had people from both places that share thoughts with me concerning, and they're burdened about it, you know. It's burdened because it seems like we are not interested in hearing what the Word of God has to say to us anymore. And I'm going to tell you, young people, and I say this to me too. I have to say this to me most of all. If I am going to grow spiritually, I must have a knowledge of what this book has to say. I must have it. You must have it. Every day of your life, you must have it. If you want to grow. God would have never put in His Word that was how we were to grow if that wasn't how we were to grow. And it's there that we desire the sincere milk of the word that we will grow thereby. It's important for us. I don't know how many of you take the Bible and read it to yourself. Have your quiet time. I know some of you do. But I'll tell you what. If you start doing it, if you start even tonight, you will find that it will be one of the most blessed things that you have ever done. I'm going to share something with you. I think it may have been going on for about a year here at the chapel. A group was started called the Praying Sisters or whatever, Secret Praying Sisters, whatever it is. And I have had so many of the ladies that attend that meeting that have said to me it has been one of the most blessed things that they have ever experienced in their life. In sharing God's word together and doing things together, it brings a bond of unity, and they are learning what God's word has to say. Now, I don't know when we're going to get the praying men's group going. I've been talking to Ross about it, but maybe someday. But it's an exercise, I think, that all of us should have on our hearts and on our minds, something that where we are willing, even like what is planned in just a few weeks' time, to go up Eleuther, to go band together as men, and hear God's servant expound to us the word, and to learn the word of God. You see? Just focus upon that for 3 days. Not too many of us want to do that. When you say you're going to study the Bible, everybody starts scampering. We want to run in a different direction. Boring. I remember some of the most, some of the sweetest meetings that I have ever attended as a young person and a teenager was our, Bible study meetings when we had a lot of men that were active in those meetings. When men would sit down and discuss a certain chapter from the Bible. And we would learn, we would go over that, we would memorize that, maybe we'd been memorizing it for a month. And we would learn that passage of scripture, and we were able to share with one another what the Word of God had said to us. Now, when is the last time, I throw this challenge out to all of us tonight, when is the last time that any one of us was able or we wanted to stop and talk to one of our friends and not talk about things that was happening in the world, but we wanted to talk about the Lord? That's what we wanted to talk about. And we wanted to share our faith with each other. We wanted to encourage each other. When was the last time that we, and how great is that desire in our hearts? Because it's very easy for us. I know it's easy for me to talk about any kind of foolishness in the world and have a good laugh. I can do that anytime. But when it comes to talking about the Word of God, how many of us really enjoy talking about the things of God? Few. And it's sad, because it's very important for us as young people that we will store up, just like this computer, the computer stores up on these disks a bunch of information, that we will store up and the floppy disk that God has given to us, this computer that we have here, that we will store the Word of God and just let it sink deep into our hearts and into our minds, and that we will let it have the control over each and every one of our lives. God has spoken to us as Christians. I mean, maybe share a word, and maybe somebody here tonight that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you probably heard the Word of God as much as us as Christians have heard it. You probably studied it as much as Christians have studied it. But I'll tell you what, unless it's been applied, unless you've applied this word, this book, to your heart, then you're still lost. And I said to our young people on Monday night, as I threw out a challenge to them, you know, I reminded us afresh of the year that is almost a year passed and gone since Darcy died. And we've had four sudden deaths. Things happen like that in Spanish Rios over this past year. And the things that have happened in Nebuchadnezzar, this week passed, last week, and whatever. People that have died suddenly, gone out into eternity. And I asked them on Monday night, you know, I said, God has given to us, each and every one of us, a choice in our minds. We choose whether we're going to accept Christ or reject Christ. We choose whether we're going to heaven or we're going to hell. And there will never be one person go to hell without him trampling over the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago, I watched that that film, The Passion of Christ, I sit here and I wept as I see that blood flow from him and onto the street. That hill must have, the street up going up to Golgotha's hill must have been covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to go to hell, you're going to have to trample over his blood. You're going to have to walk over that and disregard that. That he came and that he took that punishment. He was beaten beyond recognition. I'll tell you, it did something to my heart that night as I sat and watched how the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, the sinless one, would allow man to beat him so brutally, so cruelly, to where he was unrecognizable by mankind, the Word of God says. His visage was marred. And he did that for every one of us here tonight. As Christians, that should thrill our souls. It should thrill us straight to the toenail, like you say, that God himself would come to this world and would let man treat him that way, and that he would pay the price of sin. And to die without Christ from Spanish Wales, let me tell you, I said it on Monday night and I say it again tonight. I do believe with all my heart that a person that dies and goes to hell from Spanish Wales, punishment will be greater, far greater than those that have never heard the Word of God. It has to be. For God to be a just God, it has to be. Because we have it so much, even our boys and girls, every one of them up here in the front tonight, our teenagers, that have come up in our Sunday schools. They have been taught the Word of God. They know the Word of God better than most people that they can preach. They can preach it. They can tell you how to be saved. And that with that comes a great responsibility. We have to realize that afresh tonight. That with the knowledge that we have of God's Word, there has to be a great, great responsibility to God. And to die without Christ from Spanish Wales, I'll tell you, it'll be a sad day. No excuse. We don't have any. We can try and come up with some tonight, but I tell you, they don't hold water. There's nothing that should be keeping us or anyone here tonight from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And when you start to think about what he did for you, I mean, you should want to serve him. That should be our great desire. That is one thing that we can do, you know. It's very little that we can do, and I know as far as purchasing our salvation, there's nothing we can do. But we can show our appreciation to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done for us by being the kind of instrument that he would want us to be, the kind that he can use as we walk about this island of ours. Because, like we've said already, there are few, most people don't read this book, especially if they're not saved. They don't read this book, but they have a lot of books that they read every day, like me and you. And they wonder. Many times, I know when they look at our lives, they have to wonder, well, is there anything better about them than me? Well, I'll tell you this, the only thing that I can tell you that's any better is that I have the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. And if you're here tonight, and you don't have him in your heart, our prayer, his assembly's prayer, is that before you pillow your head tonight, you will know beyond the shadow of a doubt if it was to be you that was caught suddenly like that, you'd be ready to go. You'd be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved you and died for you. That's great. Father, tonight we thank you again for your word, because we realize afresh that it is the power of God, and it is the instruments that will keep us from sinning. It is what will light up our pathway and guide us, give us good direction, and we pray, Father, that each one of us will apply it to our hearts. We pray that we will do as Peter commanded us to do, to desire it, to have it in our hearts, that we might grow thereby. And Father, we pray again tonight that if there is one without Christ here, we pray that before they pillow their heads tonight, that they will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have the Lord Jesus Christ living in their hearts. So we ask your blessing to be upon us now as we commend this service into your hands, asking again that your blessing will be upon it, and trusting, Lord, that what we've said tonight has been in accordance with your will, as we give thanks in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.